Welcome to Studio International's first ever podcast. On the 7th of October, the National Gallery in London opened its doors to the first exhibition dedicated solely to Goya's portraits. Francisco de Goya was born in Spain in 1746. He was a prolific artist who is perhaps best known as the man who painted horrors of war and harrowing visions of hell. But there was another side to Goya. Xavier Bray, curator of Goya the Portraits.
He went through so many different stages in his life, and that's what makes him such a fascinating artist to work on. But I think in his early part of his life, he was a man full of energy, great wit, somebody you'd want to hang around with because he'd make you laugh, he'd make you cry, he'd, passionate about life. We have these wonderful letters to his friend Zapater, whom he actually portrayed, and is in the exhibition. But these letters just give you an idea that he loved shooting, loved going out and into countryside, and he shows a great show off. But, you know, great love of his dogs, goes on about his dogs. When he has a bit of money, he buys an English-made carriage and goes off in this, he calls it a gig, and he has a terrible crash, but then he says at the end of the letter, but I now have access to the royal surgeon. Then things change when he has this terrible illness, and we still don't know what it is that leaves him completely deaf. And not that, I don't think he changes in terms of personality, I mean, he's still very full of life. But it does mean that his way of looking has become slightly more focused.
Goya's career as a portrait artist began relatively late in life. He was 37 when he received his first major commission for the Count of Florida Blanca, Charles III's Enlightenment minister. Despite this late start, the artist would rise to become first court painter to the king. Xavier Bray again.
The portraits are key in his life because they're the public side of his world. It's what keeps him, they're like milestone, it's what keeps him sane and sociable. And his portraits, unlike Gainsborough, he didn't fall into the trap of becoming a society painter. He was relatively selective to whom he wanted to paint. Goya actually said himself, I have three masters, Velázquez, Rembrandt, and nature. Velázquez, because he would have known him at the court, those great paintings of kings and queens and dwarves, and I think he's been very impressed by the treatment of reality. Rembrandt through etchings, so he never saw Rembrandt's paintings, as far as we know. But I think what both Velázquez and Rembrandt share with Goya is their obsession with nature, with depicting the world around them as it is, through their eyes. You have to remember, they're not photographers, they are painters, and they are painters with an incredible technique. Particularly the late portraits by Goya have that way of painting that reminds you, that thick, splodgy way of painting is not unlike Rembrandt. And this incredible sort of honesty with which he depicts his sitters is something that Rembrandt is also interested in. Particularly nowadays, when we look back onto his pictures, one is surprised by how, you know, to the extent that the honesty of his portraits, how would they have been, you know, received by not only the sitters, but by contemporaries. But the fact that we have receipts of payments, that they were not only that the portraits were hung in the palace rooms and more commissions were given following those commissions, it suggests that he was extremely successful, which he was. He was highly sought after. There's a letter to his friends saying, you know, everybody's after me, they want portraits from me, and I don't do them unless they're of high rank or very good friends. You know, he's, okay, showing off, but he knows that he can do it. And that honestly, I think you have to remember that it's a time in the 18th century when enlightened ideas, rationale, that it's a moment where the citizen becomes a subject. It's not just kings and queens and aristocrats, it's also the rising middle class, the rising entrepreneurs, and Guy is very much part of that sort of progress within society, and people want to be depicted as they are, and he reacts very well to that.
It's very fashionable to say at the moment that an artist is the first modern artist. It's been said about Turner, it's been said about Manet. How true do you think that really is for Goya?
I think with Goya, it's definitely something that, as curators, we like to tell the press that, you know, he's the first modern portrait painter, just to get people to sort of look at a painter that lived 200 years ago. But what makes Goya immediate, I would say, and what makes him so relevant to the way we see things today is the fact that he cuts through the superficiality of portraiture, of photography, of propaganda, and goes straight to the source, straight to the person that he depicts. And he does that because he, one, wanted to get to know the person. He probably would have observed that person for quite a long time before actually getting to sit for them. He wanted to have a relationship with them. And what you get in the portraits are conversations between the sitter and Goya. And I think that is what makes them so alive to us today, that you can still have conversations with these people that, despite having lived 200 years ago, have something to tell us. And that's what I'm finding personally quite amazing, even having known these portraits individually, seeing them together. There is consistency throughout the show of this extraordinary honesty and empathy, I think, that Goya had for his sitters that make them so alive today.
Which is your favourite work? Which is the work that draws you in every time you walk into this gallery now?
I've got lots of favourite works. It's a difficult one. There's one I'm very pleased to have here, which is not so well known because it's kept in a committee boardroom in the Royal Academy of History in Madrid, and total darkness, and you can never see it. And it's of an Augustinian friar, somebody called Fray Rojas. But we know from his niece that a guy would always go to him for advice about his art, that this friar refused to pose for him for ages, and eventually Goya managed to get him to sit for him, and he must have given him the portrait as an act of friendship. And it's a portrait that is so freshly painted. I mean, it's been untouched, so it looks as if it was painted yesterday. So the reason I like it is because there's a sense of having maybe met Goya yesterday when he was painting it and being able to put it on show. So that would be my favourite portrait. It's a bit recherché. The one that I particularly like and find very intriguing is the portrait of Charles III. Charles III was a monarch who really made a point of being a friend of the people. He wanted to do everything possible to make himself popular. And he said, you know, call me Charles before King. And Goya took that literally in his portrait of him as a hunter. He's there with his dog and holding his gun. He looks so ugly and yet so happy. And only Goya could have understood that that is what the King wanted to communicate.
He's very approachable. Even his dog looks a little bit bored by him. His dog isn't even taking that much, paying that much attention to the King.
No, the dog is fast asleep. And while, you know, the Charles the Hunter is, upright and ready for a shoot, you can see in the background some of the Royal Guard in the bushes, I think, I'm sure, beating so that the partridges can fly out. And we know the King, that was his passion. That's how he dealt with his depression, I think. As soon as admin was done by 11, he would go off hunting for the rest of the day. And this is him at his happiest. So Charles III had this younger brother called Don Luis, who had been destined at a young age to follow an ecclesiastical career. He was made primate of Spain, cardinal primate of Spain, at the age of 8. And it just simply didn't suit him, and he renounced his ecclesiastical duties to dedicate himself to a courtly life, collected paintings, commissioned new art, commissioned great music from Boccherini, the great composer, and but then was caught up in a scandal because he was caught with some prostitutes while hunting with his elder brother, the King, which is quite something. And the King ordered him to marry. He chose his most beautiful wife, 32 years younger than he was. And they lived in this amazing palace in exile, 120 kilometers outside Madrid. And Goya was invited to paint the family. And they just got on really well. I mean, we know Goya went off hunting with him. And I think that friendship, again, I think he was able to just get on with people. And in so doing, put people at ease. And that's something that perhaps I didn't really realize until I got all these portraits together.
The podcast was written and presented by Emily Spicer. The music was Reverie, copyright of Ghost.